We're holding in the story, so just the mamish bekitzer, there were these two misnagdim living in Liyajna. One of them was Rabbi Isaac, and his nephew and his nephew's two sons and a son-in-law came to Liyajna for Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, and it was so cold that they were all very, very sick. They got very sick. Many of the people who, the guests who came, and even the people who lived in Lubavitch were very sick, mamish, like very sick, as in like life-threatening. And when this was told to the Alter Rebbe, he said, let them come for hakafes, because fire eats fire, right? The fire of the Torah will burn the fire of their fevers. And meanwhile, Rabbi Isaac, the Misnaget, was very, very angry at this whole thing of going to the Rebbe. Look what it's costing you. My nephew's going to die now. So that's what we're holding. After Maitiv, Shmini Atzeres, so remember, Reb Pinchas Reis is saying the story. So he said, I, with a fellow townsman by the name of Ephraim Michel and Chaim Elia of Dubrovna, we took along a number of young men, right? We're old and they're young, they're stronger. And we set out to all the places that had guest rooms and guest houses and stuff like that, in order to invite, or if we needed to bring, meaning if some people couldn't walk, thank you. If some people couldn't walk, they would have to bring them. All the out-of-town guests, we got to bring them to shul for our kafis, so they would be warmed and healed by the fire of the Torah. And the Pinchas continues, as we arrived in each inn, I told the Chassidim what the Rebbe said. In fact, his words were already known, because as soon as I had left the Rebbe's room, I walked into the little shul in the courtyard and told everyone there what I said to the Rebbe and about those who were sick and what the Rebbe answered. And within an hour, word of this reached every single inn in town. Nevertheless, as I arrived at each one, the people staying there said, could you please, even though they heard it already, they wanted me to repeat it again, letter by letter, word for word. And it was a delight to see the joy that the Rebbe's words created in each place that I went, among the women and children too. Because now everyone was certain that, with Hashem's help, all the patients would recover. The night was freezing. There was sleet. You know what sleet is? It's like freezing rain. So it's like watery, but it's frozen, so when it hits you, it feels colder than if it were snow. There was a serious wind. It's just like you walked outside and your bones felt cold. The streets were also one big messy pile, like mud and frozen mud everywhere. But none of this prevented all the sick from going to the shul. Many people were able to walk alone, except for, you know, they needed a little support on the side. And others who were unable to walk, you had to carry. When we arrived in the house of Rabbi Isaac, we found him arguing with his sons and son-in-law about his nephew, Reb Moshe. The younger men, the sons and the son-in-law, were arguing that they wanted to send a message to us, to the Chassidim who were going around, that we should come and help them stumble all the way to Hakafas. And we had to carry Reb Moshe too. And Reb Isaac argued that it's unthinkable that even the children, should go outdoors. And as for the father of Moshe, there's nothing even to discuss. He's lying there, unconscious, doesn't know what's going on. And Avram, the doctor, said that his life was in danger. And you're going to take him outside in the freezing cold rain and frozen wind? Because if you carry him outside, the first wind that comes, well, we'll kill him. Chas v'shalom. When Chaim Elia Dubrovna and I and another couple of young guys entered the house, so the Moshe's sons were so overjoyed to see us, because they were trying to get a message to us, right? But who's going to get the message? That they cried out, Baruch Hashem, now we're all saved, our father and all of us. And Reb Isaac shouted at them. He says, murderers, that's what you are. What you're doing is against our holy Torah. And I approached Rav Moshe, and he was lying like a log. His skin was dark and bluish. His eyes were closed. His fever was really, really high. And I was so scared when I saw him like that. I almost like lost, like, I'm like, maybe Reb Isaac is right that we shouldn't take him. And then Reb Isaac turned to us and he says, "What do you say? This dangerously ill patient, they want to take the shul for a kafis? Even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, and even when people were already in Yerushalayim, it says sick people don't have to go." So for sure, this applies to a mitzvah that's only midrabanan, right? Akafas and stuff like that. If you carry Moshe outdoors now, you're going to be guilty of murder. But then, the two sons of Rav Moshe, Chaim and Baruch, they spoke up. And they said, since the Rebbe had said that this was a cure, they believed with perfect faith, emuna shlema, that if their father was carried off to the minyan for the Rebbe's akafas, he would recover. And the Reb Pinchas said, right, he continues, and I must confess that at that moment I was confused and didn't know what to say. On the one hand, I heard Reb Isaac's arguments, right? Sounds like serious arguments. And I'm watching Reb Moshe lying there. His life looks like he's about to die at any minute. On the other hand, I could hear the words of these simple, I mean, the people, Reb Moshe and his sons, they were not some big geniuses. They knew how to learn a little, whatever, but that was it. But their emuna shlema, their perfect faith in tzaddikim was just, it blew my mind away. This guy's a tailor, this guy's a merchant. Like, and they're the ones who have so much emuna in the Rebbe, and I'm like sitting there wondering what to do? Because if you think about it, right, Rabbi Isaac was right. You're going to take a guy who's about to die out in the freezing cold? But then, so that's if you use your own seichel. But then if you use the seichel of Hashem, a higher seichel, not Hashem seichel, but like a more ruchniistic seichel, that was being said by Chaim and Baruch, the two sons of Reb Moshe. If the Rebbe said that the fire of Torah was a cure, then it was a cure, and just accept it. And what are you arguing about? Is his life going to be saved? Of course it will be. And moment by moment, I was more amazed at the Moshe's sons, who were ordinary young men, and they believed in this, and that's it. And to this day, I recall the shame, the embarrassment that I felt at that moment. I felt so humbled that I made up that the next Yechidus I go in, I have to speak about this to the Rebbe. What did I say to myself? Here I am, Pinchas, the son of Harav Henoch of Shklov, who was privileged to study Gemara and Poskim and Chakira at the feet of Shklov's mightiest Talmidei Chachamim, who has come to appreciate the greatness of the Rebbe through his teachings. And even now, I've been here for 8 years, and still, look at these guys. Look at me. Like, where's my emunah? And Mamish felt so embarrassed. And I was so deep in my thinking about this that I didn't notice what was going on around me until Reb Chaim Elia Dubrovner, he nudged me and he said, "Avram, the doctor says that the poor old man is in his last hours, chas v'shalom." Meaning, this is it. And I had not yet managed to, I was like waking up from my thoughts when I heard Baruch, the son of Reb Moshe, call out loud. He says, "Tati! The Rebbe has sent messengers to invite you to come to Akavas. Tati, wake up! We have to go to the Rebbe's Akavas." And there was a whole uproar in the room. And when I walked in, I see the Moshe lying there. His eyes opened up a little bit. And he had a smile on his face. He's waiting to be taken to the Rebbe's Beis Medrash. Reb Chaim Elia, he went out because every other person that they brought in that had to be carried, you just put him in a chair and two guys carried him and walked him there, right? Or you just put a guy on his shoulders, but the Moshe is not moving. You can't take him out of the bed, so we had to pick up the whole bed. So I right away, Elio Dubrovner called in a whole bunch of more young men. And then he was lifted and carried off to the Rebbe's minyan for a kafis. As we walked into the big shul in the courtyard, the heat of the room, because when you pack a lot of people have natural body heat, right? So you can have a room that's very cold, but if you, let's say this room is very cold, if you fill it with 40 people, like standing, let's say, it would get much warmer without a heater or anything, it's just natural. And we walked into the Beis Medrash and the heat hit us like boom, just like smacked into us. And the minyan was packed wall to wall with people. Some of them were so sick that they couldn't even sit on the benches. They were like just propped up against the wall. Sort of like the way we were sitting yesterday. They were at least quiet. Those were the quiet ones. Yet others that had severe coughs, and the coughing was like nonstop. Everyone just coughing. This guy's groaning. And you look around, you're like, wow, what a, like, this is such a sad sight to see. The most serious case there was Rabbi Yaakov Yeshaya of Khotemtsk. He was in his 60s, very big Baal Tzedakah. He had a lot of Achnasas Archim, Talmud Chacham, Baal Avoda. He worked as a Malamed from time to time, and you know, he also had a little bit of like a small kretschma that he had. And in the course of his years, he was already going to the Mizr Shemagid. That's how old he was. And then he went to Haradok a few times, to Rabbi Nachman and the Haradoker, until he left for Eretz Yisrael. And then he decided to come visit the Alter Rebbe. He was among Hasidim. This guy, Rabbi Yaakov Yeshaya, was considered like a seasoned Hasid, someone that's really old and he knew what he was doing. And physically, he was so tall and well-built, meaning he looked like he was really strong, that his friends used to give him the nickname Yaakov Yeshayahu Kohen Gadol, the big Kohen, right? Because he was a Kohen. So Kohen Gadol, he was a massive Kohen. According to Avram the doctor, it was because he was so strong, that's why he was so sick now. Because basically a strong guy would think, oh, I don't need to wear a coat, right? And then because of that, he can get sicker. And he's lying there, not moving an inch, just totally out. Do a little bit more. You know what? We'll stop there for today.